Europe.
Charlemagne. French Affairs of Heart and State. The Perils of Charm Offensive Diplomacy.
When the insipid joint declarations of day-to-day diplomacy have long since been consigned to dusty shelves, it is photos and videos of the hugs and handshakes, the pomp and marching bands that endure. So it will doubtless be after this week, when the French President, Emmanuel Macron, took 3 days off from domestic woes to enjoy a state visit to Morocco, hosted by its king, Mohammed VI. Greeted by a 21-gun salute, Mr. Macron rode alongside the monarch in an open-top car past applauding crowds. The French president returned the compliment, confirming his country's fresh support for Morocco's claim to sovereignty over Western Sahara, a contested slice of land, and proclaiming a reinforced partnership of exception between the two countries. Mr. Macron's love bombing of Morocco makes sense for his country. France sends more investment and tourists to its former protectorate than does any other country. French lycées there enroll the second highest number of pupils outside France. French firms build cars and high-speed rail lines in the kingdom and sell it trains, wind turbines, weapons and cereals. Mr. Macron landed in a plane filled with eager French business bosses. Under pressure from hard-right politics at home, France also needs Morocco's help taking back illegal immigrants expelled under judicial orders. The Franco-Moroccan love-in, though, is arresting for another reason. It marks a French pivot to the kingdom after a spell of désamour. Recently, Mr. Macron has instead conducted a courtship with neighbouring Algeria, Morocco's arch-adversary and backer of the resistance group in Western Sahara. Algeria offered France gas. France opened its military archives on the Algerian War for Independence, a wound that has yet to heal. In Algiers in 2022, Mr. Macron hailed a new irreversible dynamic in their friendship. This, gushed Abdelmajid Tebboune, Algeria's president, would not have been possible without the personality of Mr. Macron. Two things seem to be going on. Policy slalom is as much a part of the French president's repertoire as his disruptive nature. He built his political project on the back of being neither on the right nor the left. In diplomacy, Mr. Macron famously swung from talking to Russia's Vladimir Putin to calling him the greatest threat to Europe's security. As with Russia, France's shift to Morocco is partly a pragmatic response to the shifting geopolitics of the Euro-Mediterranean. No other European country has such close or historical ties to the countries of the Maghreb, home to some 100 million people and where, except in Libya, many speak the French language. Recently kicked out of three neighbouring countries in the Sahel, which scorned France for Russia and others, Paris wants to reinforce its regional influence. Other Europeans are, for good reason, focused only on the eastern flank, Ukraine, and the eastern Mediterranean, Gaza. French outreach to Algeria was stuck. Moroccan links are simpler. Switching made sense. A second element is more distinctly French, or rather Macronian. The intense and unapologetic use of personal diplomacy to conduct international relations. In this, Mr. Macron lays it on with a trowel. In his effort to flatter, cajole, or impress his counterparts, no symbol goes unconsidered, no personal touch unexploited. To mark her platinum jubilee, the French president sent the late British queen, an equestrian, a 7-year-old gelding. Earlier this year, Mr. Macron took China's Xi Jinping up to a snow-swept mountain pass in the Pyrenees, where he had spent his childhood summers, plying him with local wines and cheeses. On occasion, this approach yields diplomatic benefit. When Mr. Macron went last year to the Slovakian capital, Bratislava, to confess that France had sometimes missed opportunities to listen to Central and Eastern Europe, it warmed the hearts of those aggrieved by his earlier courtship of Mr. Putin. The moment marked his overdue shift to Ukraine hawk. Other objects of the president's attentions, by contrast, seem immune. On a visit last year to Hamburg, the German Chancellor, Olaf Scholz, offered Mr. Macron a fish sandwich wrapped in brown paper. The real difficulty with charm offensive diplomacy, though, is that it reinforces a tendency to solitary decision-making and unilateral pronouncements. Mr. Macron, who consults widely but decides alone, is particularly prone to this failing. He has in recent weeks upset some of his own diplomats with poorly timed public digs at Israel, even as he continues to speak regularly to Benjamin Netanyahu by phone. "I've always thought that his analyses are remarkably smart," says Gérard Araud, a former ambassador to America and Israel. "But he's never understood that foreign policy is nothing without diplomacy." Leverage comes from dull diplomatic spade work, meetings with allies in overlit, underventilated conference rooms, and the drafting of insipid communiques. A crucial test could be round the corner if Americans put Donald Trump back in the White House. The French president and the Spanish prime minister are the only leaders of big EU countries who have worked with Mr. Trump. Mr. Macron's early white-knuckle handshake with him was a studied bid to engage in a muscular rapport de force. He then treated him to a military parade and dinner up the Eiffel Tower, later offsetting the flattery with periodic jibes at American nationalism and protectionism. Ultimately, the effort did not work out well. And, should the pair share time in office again, Mr. Trump would be dealing with an enfeebled French president and a leaderless Europe. France retains impressive convening power and useful independent-mindedness. It has a well-oiled diplomatic machine. Deftly deployed, fine attention to symbolic detail can be smart. But the theatre of personalised politics needs to work together with the hard graft if diplomacy is to secure real achievements.